Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? Because Stone Cold said so.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, and welcome to WrestleMania week as we creep closer and closer and closer to the strangest WrestleMania that any of us have ever been a part of, and hopefully will ever be a part of in our personal lives. But get ready, because we have a lot to talk about today, as Monday Night Raw wrapped up last night, and one overall I thought was a very strong show, with the majority of that credit coming because of some really, really strong promos. Promos that, you know, you've probably saying to yourself, where the hell have these been in WWE over the last few years? And yeah, you had some big names delivering those promos, but we still haven't, I haven't at least, felt that way about a promo in WWE in quite some time. And this is where, believe it or not, I believe the empty arena format that we're all, I guess, kind of getting used to in a weird way has its benefits, because there's no crowd to play off of, and it leaves you with your own thoughts. And when they have those quiet promos with no crowd reaction, sometimes it's more impactful because you don't have the crowd directing you how to feel, right? You just have the guy or gal on the mic in control telling you how they feel, and then you as an individual decide how you want to react. Because I think more often than not, when we hear a crowd reaction that maybe we don't agree with, we think, oh, maybe I'm not feeling the way I should be feeling about this promo. And it's almost as if you're getting to know these wrestlers on a more personal level without the distraction of a crowd. Now, with all that said, let's be totally honest with one another. Being in front of a live audience has way more pros than cons, and I think we all miss that live audience format. I know I do. Every time I come on here, I say I do. But if we're looking at a silver lining in this entire disaster that we are living in right now, that would be one. And when you have really strong promos like you did on Monday, you get a show that's memorable, and you get a go-home show that's memorable, whether it's Paul Heyman and Brock giving his, you know, his seven-figure stance that he, you know, gets to be paid millions of dollars for to stand there while Paul Heyman does the heavy lifting and just stands there and gets paid to look mean and look nasty, or whether it's Undertaker and his response to AJ Styles. I wasn't super keen on the content necessarily, a little bit weird at times, and we'll get to that too. Or Edge and his sit-down promo, which I think stole the show by a long shot. Or even Kevin Owens coming out to address what Seth said about him last week after his tag match and getting stomped by Seth Rollins. Or whether it's even Becky Lynch. While I think she's towards the bottom of the pile, she certainly did what she needed to do, and there was more physicality set up for that segment. But in its own right, that segment, I think, was set out to have a specific purpose, and I think it achieved that purpose. So I'm going to go through each one of these promos individually and give you my thoughts and give you audio where I think is necessary. I know that you've probably already seen the show, or if you haven't, you know, spoiler alert, obviously. But I'll give you audio as I can. I think it's important that we listen to this together and I can respond appropriately. So I'll go through all that in just a few moments. But if you haven't joined us before and this is your first time listening to the show, welcome. This is your wrestling fans podcast, basically. It's the WWE podcast, but it's a podcast by a fan for fans. We are not state-run radio. We have zero affiliation with WWE and damn proud of it. I actually think it's an asset not being directly involved with WWE, because I think fans trust the show more for giving an honest opinion rather than being affiliated with WWE or being a part of it or being paid by them or anything else of that nature, to know that there are no ties, I think, again, instills trust that I'm not directing a narrative that I'm being paid to project by a company that's paying me to say those things. So I think it's a huge asset in that way. But this is WrestleMania week, and that means I'll be watching WrestleMania live, of course. I don't always get a chance to watch pay-per-views live, as my personal schedule sometimes does not allow me to. But with WrestleMania airing 3 hours and 15 minutes on Saturday, and then again on Sunday night, you'll be able to live tweet me throughout the show as we live WrestleMania 36 in all its glory together. And you'll hear my kind of instant reactions, and I'll get to hear yours, and we can converse back and forth in what I expect to be a very eventful night in WWE. And that's not to say, again, that I'm going to be and looking to be overwhelmed and wowed by this WrestleMania, nor do I actually want to be. I already talked about this at length in my past couple shows, but I think we should all kind of bring our expectations down, and I hope that they meet those subpar expectations, right? I don't want WWE really just piling on everything that they can to make WrestleMania 36 enjoyable from a perspective of the typical surprises and big returns and heel turns and swerves and all that kind of stuff that we normally see at Mania. I reserve it for when they're back online, so to speak. So, but nonetheless, I think this past week, the WWE wrestlers, stars, performers really sold WrestleMania very well. The mission always and should always be, you know, are you more excited after the show to watch WrestleMania? And the answer to me, I think, is a resounding yes. This might have been the best Raw that WWE's had in quite some time, at least definitely since the whole virus outbreak and empty arena format. Definitely the best show, whether it's Raw or SmackDown. This was just that good with the promos, and it just shows you how important it is to be able to cut a promo, and that it doesn't always come naturally, but that you don't have to lift a single finger to be able to talk people into a building. And of course, this year is figuratively talking people into a building, and how important that skill is to possess as a WWE performer. And you saw it on Monday. You saw it from Kevin. You saw it from Becky. You saw it from Taker. You saw it from you certainly saw it from Edge, right? You saw it from Randy Orton the week before. You saw it from Seth the week before. People need to understand just how important these promos are, and I think you got a taste of that this past week with last night, rather, with, you know, really Edge, who I think was the standout. So stay with us, guys, for all of your WrestleMania coverage, because we are going to keep you absolutely up to date with all of our thoughts, reviews, and recaps as the WrestleMania weekend rolls on. What we're going to do is a two-part review that'll come your way Sunday before WrestleMania Part 2 happens. And then on Monday will be a WrestleMania Part 2 review with a set of co-hosts that I'm still working on gathering. I'm trying not to do a huge, large group because I don't want the podcast to be 6 hours. But I probably will do a subset of two and two, meaning I'll have two additional co-hosts with me on Sunday for the review of Part 1, and then a subset of two additional on Monday for the review of Part 2, meaning there will be three of us, including two co-hosts, on each review show. And then, of course, on Tuesday will be your WWE Raw review. So there's going to be more shows coming your way in the next week than you know what to do with. Plus the quick hits that I've been doing lately. And let me know what you guys think about that, by the way. It's a new format that I've implemented where I have a microphone that is an adapter to, well, I have an adapter that it fits into my iPhone. And I just, you know, I get on there and I just, you know, shoot the you know what with you guys, and you know, if there's a news story coming out or something I need to just get off my chest, my rule is I'd like to keep it 15 minutes or less. I don't want to go into a full-blown podcast. I'm sure that I will break my own rule sooner than later because I just can't help myself when I talk wrestling. But Let me know what you guys think about the quick hit segments, because I think personally, I think they're useful. They're good. They're a quick listen about major topics happening, and it keeps you guys up to date. And I think, or at least I would hope you like to know my opinions, right? If you're listening to the show, that seems to be the purpose of that. And you're, or maybe you're just gearing yourself up for Mania, or like to keep yourself abreast of the latest news in WWE, whatever the purpose is. And I also think that the sound quality is pretty decent, if you guys agree. I mean, I listened back to it and it's almost as good as the, you know, the high quality, somewhat expensive microphone that I have in front of me right now that I'm using. So let me know what you guys think. If you'd like me to continue with the quick hits or not, it would be much appreciated. But that's going to be the format, guys. We have a show on Sunday with WrestleMania Part 1. Show on Monday, WrestleMania Part 2. We have the Raw Review on Tuesday. Wrestling Nostalgia Wednesday. Thursday, AEW. Friday, NXT. And then back to your total recap, which is going to come your way next weekend with the Week in Review. It's going to be insane. I mean, there's just so much content to give you guys, and I'm really excited to be able to do that in a time that is, I think, needed more than ever, right? More than ever. I need this more than ever. You guys need this, I think, more than ever. So let's get through this together, and let's just jump right in to the Monday Night Raw review. So Raw starts out with The Undertaker responding to AJ Styles last week. And if you remember the promo from AJ Styles where AJ Styles attempted to humanize The Undertaker, called him Mark Calloway by his real name, you know, pointed to Michelle McCool being the reason for The Undertaker's embarrassment over the last several years, and showed a video of him with tigers relating to the Tiger King epidemic that also seems to be running rampant. And I use that word in a little bit of a facetious way. But if you guys haven't seen The Tiger King, I've seen parts of it, but my God, that seems to just be the fad of in Netflix now. But the point is, AJ Styles went really weird, kind of a weird turn, and went personal and tried to humanize The Undertaker. And then, well, here's a little bit. I'm not going to run the entire promo because I don't want this show being all just audio from Raw, but I'll stop it where I deem appropriate, and then we'll reconvene. So let's take a listen to what Undertaker, dare I say Mark Calloway, had to say to AJ Styles.
Or should I say Alan Jones? I mean, since we're being real now, you know, for such a small man, you got a really big mouth. And I don't know if you have a big set or you're just really that stupid. Either way, your mouth's writing checks your ass can't cash. I'm sure you thought by dropping some pipe bombs, you'd get under my skin. Son, I've heard a lot worse from far better than you. And although I must admit, there are some truths to what you've been saying. You said maybe 10, 15 years ago, you probably wouldn't want to try me. You're damn right you wouldn't want to. You were content being a big fish in a little pond because you knew back then you didn't have what it takes to hang with The Undertaker, Stone Cold, The Rock, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Kurt Angle, Mick Foley, Eddie Guerrero, Booker T, Edge, the very best this business had to offer, the phenomenal one, my ass. You waited till they were all gone.
Now let's pause it there. So The Undertaker gets real with AJ Styles, calling him by his real name. And this is, you know, I like The Undertaker's poise here. I will say this. I like The Undertaker's poise. He's all in. I like the, you know, just direct look into the camera type of promo, which we've been getting a lot of lately, but it's effective. It's effective when you believe what you're saying, and The Undertaker believes what he's saying, and talking about how you wouldn't have hung here, you wouldn't have come here, you waited till all of them were gone to come to WWE. And while on the surface, that sounds like a good comeback, it sounds like it has validity. If anybody has followed AJ Styles' career, you know that he has not been hanging with small guys, right? Think about the guys that AJ Styles has worked with in the past. Samoa Joe, right? There's an example. Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle. Think about these guys that are not exactly small in stature and have an incredible resume, right? So that's a little bit off the block of Undertaker's promo. With that said, again, I like the poise. We kind of are getting a hybrid version of Undertaker. And it's not just Undertaker, American Badass, some kind of combination of that. But it's also a combination of a third version of The Undertaker, the real man, Mark Calloway. So we're getting this kind of quasi-mixture of Mark Calloway, American Badass, and the Undertaker, the dead man. We're getting all three at once, and it's kind of turning into something new, I think. I don't know what to make of this, because they went a totally different way, and they certainly got everyone's attention and tried to get everyone interested in a match that they really buried at Super Showdown, and it's working to some degree, because I still want to see these two fight. I'm not down on Undertaker here in his promo, but let's listen on to see, you know, some other things that he said here, and maybe we can pick it apart, or maybe we can praise it. You know how it is on this show, very honest.
Except for me. Now, I'll be the first to admit, I've got far more matches behind me than I do in front of me. But, Alan, you stepped in something now there's no coming back from. Your foolish pride is making really bad decisions for you. All the things you said about me, I get it. I do, it's just business. Where you crossed the line, though, was the first time you mentioned her. I think your pride is playing games with you again. I think you're mad because she does the Faith Breaker, a.k.a. the Styles Clash, better than you do. She got it over.
All right, let's pause right there. I got to pause right there. Taker, listen. Let me take the first part of the promo. Undertaker mentioned that that when it got personal, that's when he crossed the line. And everything else that was said before it, he gets it. There was some truth to it. And that, you know, it was just business. And then talks about Michelle McCool. And that's where he crossed the line. And that's where his ass wrote a check he won't be able to cash. Undertaker said that so many times in his career. First time I heard it, I was like, that's pretty clever. I'm going to use that in my real life. And then I said to myself, nope, everyone knows what that is. It's not cool. So, I mean, it's a good line. I've heard it many, many, many times in pro wrestling. It just fits the pro wrestling narrative often. So, Undertaker talks about Michelle McCool getting over the Faith Breaker, a.k.a. the Styles Clash. Nope. That may have been a finish maneuver of hers, but where I differ from with you, Taker, Mark, is she didn't get it over. You know how she didn't get it over? Because AJ Styles got it over. AJ Styles was an infinitely bigger star than you ever were. And I'm talking about Michelle McCool. As much of a staple as she was during the Divas era, let's be honest, she didn't get anything over. She didn't. What did she get over? She may be an amazing woman. I'm sure she is. She seems like a faith-filled woman, a great wife. On a personal level, this has nothing to do on a personal level. This has to do with Michelle McCool as a pro wrestler. What do I remember her for? Here's what I remember her for. Is anybody else talking about, or does anybody else have anything to add to this? And you probably do, but her and Candice Michelle, right? I remember them being, you know, Divas champion at times when the Divas championship meant about as much as my replica belt from WWE that I can purchase. And the segment with Mae Young, when they were running down Mae Young like a bunch of, they were kind of like the poor man's version of the not the Bella Twins, the Iconics, very arrogant, very loud, and very full of themselves. They were the poor man's version of that back in 2008 or whenever this was. But when they had the segment with Mae Young, her and Candice Michelle, and Mae Young went off on them calling them sluts. By the way, if you haven't seen that and you want a laugh, you have to see it. It probably was I mean, like 10 years ago, maybe more. Maybe around the 10-year mark. My memory fades. But just YouTube, Mae Young, Candice Michelle, Michelle McCool, whatever. It was hilarious. I still laugh at it, even though I know it's coming. That is all I remember Michelle McCool's career from. I mean, am I wrong here? Am I wrong in saying that? She was in an era that was... I'm sorry, the women were a glorified bathroom break. That's what they were. She can't say she was a pioneer. She certainly didn't get over the faith breaker. Does anybody even remember that? I don't even remember that. And I've seen every Monday Night Raw that WWE and SmackDown has ever produced. So, Undertaker, I'm going to have to pause you there. I'm going to have to just say, might want to pull back on that. That's not a real thing. She may have used it, but AJ made it famous. All right, well, let's continue on with this, the promo from the Dead Man or Mark or American Badass or whatever the hell he is.
No matter the reason, you're going to pay the ultimate price for disrespecting her. My wife, Michelle McCool. And you're going to pay that price in a boneyard. Remember, that was your idea. You want to be relevant at the Showcase of Immortals, WrestleMania. And who better to make that happen than The Undertaker? Try me. I'll make you famous. And I hope you bring those two ass clowns, Gallows and Anderson, with you. All three of you can feel the wrath of the unholy trinity I'm bringing with me. Just know, you will feel the pain. You will get hurt. And you will suffer. And most importantly, you will rest in peace.
All right, so The Undertaker cuts it out there, and it's a boneyard match, and we cut out to him with a visual of the AJ Styles grave with his name on it, with the dates of his birth and now apparent death in this boneyard match, a.k.a. a graveyard match, right? And that's what this is. This is a graveyard match. But as I alluded to on a show earlier this week, it's a graveyard match that they didn't want to say graveyard because of all the death going on in the world right now with the coronavirus pandemic. And I understand that. I understand it. So I guess boneyard is the alternative verbiage that we use for the graveyard match. It's a graveyard match. Okay. Let's be honest, folks. It's a graveyard match. So the only interesting thing I would take out of that, the final part of that promo, is The Undertaker talking about the unholy trinity he's going to bring with him. What is that? Right? Is it people? Is it just a figure of speech that he has spirits with him? Is it Cain? But who's with Cain? I mean, you got to have three people for a trinity. So I don't know what the three is. I mean, I wish Paul Bearer was still around. You could have Paul Bearer bring the urn around. I mean, obviously that's not an option. So I don't know what this means. Maybe I'm reading into it. But it sounds as if he's going to even the odds if Gallows and Anderson do indeed show up. So any ideas you guys have, throw them at me at the WWE Podcast on Twitter or realwwepodcast@gmail.com, which, by the way, you can send all your audio questions to me, and especially throughout this WrestleMania weekend coming up, send them to me. Send your comments, send your rants, send your questions, send anything that you'd like via audio to realwwepodcast@gmail.com. You guys have heard me implement others and their opinions or their questions to me on this show several times over the last few weeks, and it's really cool to hear other voices on this show and answer them in real time. So please feel free to do that. All you have to do is just create a voice memo on your phone and send it via email. Super, super easy to do. You don't need any mics, anything. You just need a smartphone, of which, I mean, if you don't have a smartphone at this point, you're probably on dial-up internet still. I don't know. All right, well, so that was the first promo. And overall, like I said, I mean, I thought it was effective. I think it was flawed at times, no question. But did it ultimately make me want to see this match more? The answer is yes. And we're getting this very strange version of The Undertaker as we roll into WrestleMania. So that was the first promo. And so let's get into the second promo here that I want to discuss. And that was Becky Lynch's promo. And you know, she mentioned her match last year and then immediately cut to the 20-minute match that they had at WrestleMania last year as the main event with Rousey and Charlotte. And I was thinking, so she just said that on cue and then she, what, stood there for 20 minutes? I mean, did she expect them to play the whole thing? I would assume. I don't know. Semantics. But it was kind of weird that the entire match played right after she mentioned this match and said, you know, take a look. And there we got the entire match. But nonetheless, let's listen to a little bit of her promo. And, well, really, the Shayna attack as well.
First time I watched that back. Now, in the last year, I've learned that history tends to follow the one who made it. Turns out I also get followed by dopes who can't seem to make their own. Now, since that match happened, a lot of people have tried to take this from me. If Shayna Baszler, she thinks that she's different. She has an edge because she's a killer, the one who wiped out the entire division. And she even said last week that taking this from me would destroy me. Well, she's right. It would. Look, we all get into this business because we have demons, things to prove. Now, I've no problem admitting that I don't know who I am without being the champ anymore. But don't think, Shayna, that I don't know about your demons, too. You walk around here all cool with your low voice and your cage fighter resume in your top pocket. But I could see last week I'm starting to get to you, ain't I? Like all the rest that I've faced, you're going to come in fighting from emotion, hoping that if you beat me, you'll finally do the one thing that your pal Ronda Rousey couldn't do. And that's your demon, Shayna. I can see it. I can see it now. The relief, the exhilaration that you'll get when you beat me. If you beat me, as if for once, you'll steal Ronda's spotlight instead of the other way around.
All right, so we'll stop it there. I don't want to go too long with the audio, but she's basically talking about using the whole premise that Ronda Rousey is superior to Shayna, and that Shayna has always been in the shadow of Ronda Rousey, and it's a good point. I like that point. I think it's well put that after I beat you, what if I beat you? You're going to crawl back into the hole and remain in the shadow of Ronda Rousey, and this tells me a couple of things. Number one, that I think Ronda Rousey could be on her way back to WWE sooner than later. It could be as soon as this weekend. Very well could be, regardless of the fact that it's in front of nobody. And number two, it tells me that Shayna Baszler has a good, very good chance to win. And it could be because of Ronda Rousey interfering to exact revenge on Becky Lynch. And to me, I wouldn't do that in front of nobody. I want the crowd reaction there. It's such a shame. I don't want these moments wasted in front of nobody. I don't want these moments wasted in front of an empty arena. And I know WWE has already taped WrestleMania, so it's already in the books and it's already done and over with, whatever happened. Does anybody else feel this way? Maybe you don't want these big moments wasted on nobody? And yeah, we're sitting at home and we can react on Twitter with our fingers, but there's something about that energy in the live audience that just makes the moments that much bigger and better. So, I don't know, just an example of things that I want to not see at Mania simply because of the fact no one's there. So, after this, of course, we had a attack by Shayna Baszler from behind, choking her out and slamming her against the announce table, looking pretty badass and doing it. I mean, logic would always tell you the person that gets the upper hand the show before the pay-per-view usually takes the fall or the submission or the loss at the pay-per-view itself. It's not a foolproof formula by any means. I would say it's like a 60% or 70%, maybe 70% type of deal when you're looking at that rule. So at least, so those are my thoughts. We also had Aleister Black go against, what was his name? I'm awful at the names, because he was not somebody that is normally on WWE TV, at least on Raw. Aleister Black, I mean, he handled this match pretty damn quick. Obviously, we have Aleister Black, who's going to be involved in a match at WrestleMania with Bobby Lashley. And, oh, Jason Cade is his name. Jason Cade just came to me. Jason Cade and Aleister Black. Jason Cade was nothing more than an enhancement talent here. Very quickly, Aleister Black disposed of him, and it was meant to just build him for Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania. And there's not really much to say about that. I expect Aleister Black to pretty quickly and handily defeat Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania. I don't expect Bobby Lashley to put up too much of a fight, given that they know the future is indeed on the shoulders of Aleister Black. And to, you know, see how big of a star he's going to become, time will tell. Certainly time will tell if this is going to be a flash in the pan, or if Aleister Black is going to be a main event type of guy. But WrestleMania, I'm expecting a good match, but I expect a clean victory for Aleister Black. I just don't see any other way about it. So, all right. Then the next thing that we got here was Kevin Owens. And this was interesting. We had Kevin Owens sitting like on the bottom rope, like he's, you know, laying in a lawn chair after Seth Rollins stomped his head in after Kevin Owens picked up the victory in the tag match where he stunned Angel Garza and got the win. So we have Kevin Owens talk about, well, let's take a little bit of a listen. His is a longer promo. I'm not going to give you the whole thing, I promise. But let's just take a little bit of it at a time, and we'll digest it and talk about it.
You know, Seth, I think you just kicked some sense into me. No pun intended. Because I've been thinking a lot about what you said last week. And after what just happened, I have a lot to say. And I know you're watching. So listen up. Last Monday, you walked around this place and said that while you never trained here, this building was built because of you. You said that everybody that came through this place should be thankful for you. You said this building was built on your blood, sweat, and tears, built on your back. But I've actually heard otherwise. See, I heard this place was built despite of you. I heard that from the moment you set foot in that warehouse in Tampa that you mentioned, you were a nightmare to deal with. You knew everything about everything. You were better than everyone else. Nobody could stand you. And I gotta say, Seth, these past few months you have done an outstanding job proving everyone right when they said that all you are is an arrogant dipshit.
Wow. So there you go with the cussing, right? This show is going to be labeled explicit nonetheless. So obviously he got to go ahead to say that on air. Surprising that they went that road, but when you just put a mic in front of Kevin Owens and you just let him talk, it's infinitely more enjoyable than the scripted types of cute little one-line zingers that he gets sometimes handed for Monday Night Raws. And again, this is where no audience shines, and it's almost as if it's just you and it's just him, and we're just talking, and you're happening to listen in on a conversation between him and Seth Rollins, and the direct stare into the camera was the format of the night here. And I enjoyed this promo. I mean, it was well structured. It was real. It had a lot of truths to it. Kevin Owens shows you how good he can be on the mic and rebut Seth Rollins' promo that he, in his own right, cut last week in a very good format as well, in a very good delivery. And, you know, Kevin Owens also talked about how, you know, he wasn't, that Seth Rollins wasn't liked when he first came up. And I don't know how true that is. I honestly don't know if that has a whole lot of truth behind it. I'm sure it does. I just never heard anything per se. So this was just well done. I mean, let's listen to a little bit more. I can't help myself. Let's listen to a little bit more, and then we'll wrap it up in Kevin Owens and move on. But yeah, all right, here we go.
But look, I'm well aware of my past. Okay, I'm well aware of my reputation and what people can say because of the path that I've chosen. But the difference between you and I is that I am not delusional. Like you. I've been saying you're delusional for a long time, and last week you proved me right. You did, because you talked about all those WrestleMania moments you've had, right? You said that when it comes to WrestleMania, you... What did you call yourself? Oh, yeah, you're a god. And that I am just a disappointment. I got to admit, man, those words actually stung. They did. They stayed with me. But when I was at home thinking about all this stuff, it occurred to me just how askew your view of reality is, because while I may not have all those WrestleMania moments that you do, I can claim the same accolades that you claim. I've been Intercontinental Champion twice. I've been United States Champion three times. I have been Universal Champion. In fact, I was Universal Champion well before you. And those WrestleMania moments you talk about, see, all the accomplishments I just listed that I have, well, I'm man enough to admit that I didn't get them on my own.
And so that's where Kevin Owens really laid it into Seth here, was that it was all, you know, that the fact that he got a lot of help, Kevin Owens is man enough to admit, where Seth Rollins is not, and that Seth Rollins is delusional in that he, you know, did it all himself and that he didn't have any help. I mean, if you remember, yeah, Kevin Owens got the Universal Championship before Seth did, but it was only because Triple H literally handed it to him. In August of, I don't know, God, I don't even know, 16, 15, whenever the heck that happened. And so, yeah, that is true that we did have Kevin Owens as champion first. Kevin Owens then goes on to talk about how he's going to make an example out of Seth, how he's going to take that Kevin Owens' first WrestleMania moment is going to be at the expense of Seth Rollins. And I'm looking forward to this match as well. I think, as you guys heard in my WrestleMania preview show with Ashley, you know I'm looking forward to this match. It's a WrestleMania caliber match, one-on-one. I still would like something on the line. I don't see anything on the line other than pride, other than bragging rights. I don't see anything that I can go, oh, I hope Kevin wins so X can happen, right? It's just a... it's just a match that's going to happen that the winner can gloat on Monday Night Raw and the loser can wallow in his sorrows on Monday Night Raw or try to get exact revenge. So this is, it's hard sometimes to get involved in a match emotionally when you don't see a whole lot on the line, but it's personal, right? It was a personal issue. Okay, fine. I'm buying into it. I still want to see it. I still want to see Kevin Owens beat Seth Rollins down and hit him with a few stunners. Of course I do. But with nothing on the line, and I alluded to, I want to see Kevin Owens have to join his group if he loses, or Seth leave WWE if he loses. Something of that nature, but there's nothing. And then there's not even any stipulation for this match as far as, like, you know, no false or false count anywhere or anything like that. And that's, I guess I'm okay with that a little bit more, because there's a lot of other very gimmicky type of matches already on WrestleMania, with Boneyard matches and the Firefly Funhouse matches and, you know, ladder matches. There's already a lot of gimmicks going on. So for a straight up one-on-one match, I'm fine with no bells and whistles, but give me a stipulation. Give me something hanging in the balance beyond pride and beyond bragging rights. But nonetheless, it was a good promo by Kevin, a nice rebuttal, and I thought it was well done. You know, I thought it was really well done by Kevin, probably his best work in quite some time. So then we get to as Jim Ross would say, by God, the match of the freaking, or the promo of the night. And that was by Edge talking about the whole Randy Orton situation in, I think, one of Edge's best promos he's ever done. And one of the best promos on Raw that we've seen in, dare I say years? I'm talking about from an active wrestler. I'm not talking about from advocates. So let's take a little bit of time out to listen to Edge and his response to Randy Orton and really wrapping up this whole thing very nicely and tying it all together. So let's take a listen. This is, again, one of my favorites. One of the best I've heard in a while.
Randy, you said that, that Adam Copeland is a junkie for Edge. You're probably right. Yeah, but it's not an ego thing. It's not about ego. See, I love the feeling that happens in an arena, that explosion when my music hits. That connection. The raw connection, that intensity that I share with our audience, because I'm one of them. I came from them. You know, let's face it, man. We're all junkies for this. As a 13-year-old kid sitting 11th row ringside for WrestleMania, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, I knew then. If you're not a junkie for this, then you're just taking up space. You're in my way.
All right, let's pause it right there. So, Edge, right off the bat, talking about one of the biggest lines that Randy dropped last week, that Adam Copeland is a junkie for Edge, but Edge saying, well, yeah, I am, but if you aren't, and nobody else is a junkie for wanting to do this, you shouldn't be here. I mean, that's a mic drop right there, right? And just the cadence, the presentation of Edge, just effing brilliant the way that this whole thing was done. And the dark setting with the single spotlight on his face, effective, believable, brilliant, as I said, just damn intriguing and magnetic. And let's continue a little bit more of it here. I'm just entranced.
Talked about grit, right? Clearly, we have different definitions of the word grit. To you, grit seems to be, you know, handpicked by evolution. That represents grit to you. You're resting on the laurels of your family name. Coasting. Off and on with spurts of magic for the last 20 years. Just okay with being okay. Don't get me wrong, okay for you is better than most, and that's a Hall of Fame career. But to me, grit is the type of man that'll reach down into that hole, that'll pull somebody out that probably doesn't deserve it. To me, grit is refusing to be an evolution because you don't want to be someone's lackey. To me, grit is forging your own Hall of Fame career. To me, grit is thinking about how to get back here every day for 9 years and end this on your terms.
So pause it right there. I mean, damn, right? Randy Orton gets torched by Edge here and says something that we've all been thinking and saying for the majority of Randy Orton's career, that he hasn't ever reached his full potential. And that Randy Orton being average or okay is better than most. And spurts of magic. So true. So true. How many times have we seen, oh my God, look at what Randy can do, and then he just kind of goes back into his coasting mode. That's what Randy Orton is. That's what Randy Orton has done, is coast his entire career, which still has yielded him a Hall of Fame career. And Edge really playing to that, the belief of what Randy Orton's career has been. I mean, that's truth right there. That's truth. That's not storyline. That's what most people believe, and I think is the truth with Randy Orton and his okay type of career that is ultimately turned into a Hall of Fame type of career. So let's continue, for God's sakes.
You know, I was mistaken. I was wrong. I said that you were jealous of me, right? You're not jealous of me. You're jealous of my passion. See, because you can't fabricate passion. You have it or you don't, and I have it, Randy. And the only time that you have it is when I'm around. I make you better. I push you, I motivate you, I light a fire under you, and everyone else sees it but you. Everyone's talking about it. They know. This is the best Randy Orton has ever been. The last time Randy Orton scratched being this good was 9 years ago.
Wow. Yes. Everything Edge just said, yes. Randy Orton has indeed done some of the best work of his career since Edge's return and getting involved in a storyline with Edge. So without actually breaking the fourth wall, he has broken the fourth wall in a way that is believable within the context of the story, but has a lot of real elements to it about Edge making Randy Orton better. Again, a motivated Randy. I've said it in this show. You've heard it on many other shows. A motivated Randy Orton is the best type of Randy Orton we can get. And we've seen it. And we saw it this past couple of months. So it's just damn brilliant. I've loved everything that was said here by Edge. This, if you want a wrestling school presentation, if you want somebody to watch a promo and just say, hey, you know, what's an example of a promo I can watch and just learn something from? Here you go. Here's Exhibit A, right? Here is Exhibit A from Edge, in a absolute legend in the business, a guy that has always cut good promos. I mean, I think he always has. I mean, especially since he broke away from the Edge and Christian tag team and went solo. I think he's always been very good on the mic, always been a very believable character, a guy that you just naturally connect with, even when he was a heel. And I still connected with him on a very, you know, deep level as a character, even as a heel, because he was good as a heel. I mean, I remember at New Year's Revolution 2006 when he first won his championship in my city. He won against John Cena, cashing in the Money in the Bank after the Elimination Chamber match, and the crowd popped for him, right? Because we loved him, and it was anybody but John Cena, right? So I mean, Edge has always had that connection with the fans, and he's always had that great promo ability in him. He showed you again here. I didn't run the whole promo because I didn't want to take up too much time with just audio and not my opinions, but I really just want everyone, if you haven't seen it, good Lord, go see this promo by Edge. It was a A+ knock 'em dead, home run type of promo. It's exactly what you're looking for to build this match. And even though you know that it's something that they're doing to build the match, you don't care because it's that good. This is called bringing you in even when you know it's not a real rivalry, right? This is when it's called magic. This is pro wrestling promos at its best. This is what we watch wrestling for. This is why we watch wrestling. It's not for the silly comedy. It's not for the eye-rolling matches at times. It's not for the women scantily clad. Thank God that's gone. It is for wrestling promos that draw you in, build and bring emotion to your guts, and matches that have meaning and reason and purpose and structure and consequences. And this match has all of that. If there was one match that I would watch at WrestleMania and I couldn't watch anything else, Randy Orton, Edge would be the match that I would watch. It would, because it's, yes, it's Edge's return after 9 years, but even more than that, and that would be enough to see why have anybody want to watch a WrestleMania match for somebody that is of a biggest star as Edge, Hall of Famer, to come back after 9 years to face somebody. I mean, you could just plug anybody in there and people go, oh, cool, I want to see Edge's return match. He hasn't been back in forever. I thought he retired. That alone would sell the match. But to add an amazingly done story with two super motivated guys, although Randy was only motivated because of Edge's return and has done some of his best work because he's been motivated. So, but you add an amazing story on top of it and two absolute pros, this is a must-see match. The outcome of this match is going to have reverberating effects. I think they're going to knock it dead in this match. No pun intended. I don't mean that in a negative way, obviously, today. But this is a match, it's a must-see. And I alluded to this, too, and I had this prediction on my show with Ashley on this past weekend, that I think this match is going to go into a double count-out, that neither man's going to win. Both men will beat the holy hell out of each other. Edge is going to do something extraordinary, and out of anger, just spear Randy off the top of the building or something, and they're both going to land, and it, you know, the match ends and basically inconclusively. The crowd can't boo because there's no crowd, and you want to see the follow-up, right? And both men are in the hospital. Randy Orton is bruised from head to toe. You see maybe him in a cast. I don't know. But this is going to be a long story arc. I hope one that just doesn't end at WrestleMania. And we'll get that clue at WrestleMania. I mean, I don't think Randy can win outright. I really don't think that's the case. And Edge could win. I think it's likely Edge could win, and he might win at WrestleMania. But I think more likely it's going to be a double count out where Edge does something extraordinary, gets his payback, but ultimately doesn't win. But Randy doesn't either. So I think that's my take. But anyway, brilliant promo. Go freaking see it if you haven't. On to the Paul Heyman segment with Brock Lesnar. I won't play any audio from that just because I don't have it readily available. But basically what Paul Heyman did, again, he called everyone Brock Lesnar's you know what. I mean, that's just what he did. He said that this isn't a prediction, it's not even a spoiler, it's a guarantee, an absolute guarantee that next year at this time Brock Lesnar will be in the go home spot of the go home show for WrestleMania. And he used kind of those insider terms, and it was interesting about the go home show phrase. I don't think they've used that very often on WWE programming. Brock Lesnar, again, getting paid millions to stand there and look like a big, mean man. I mean, you can make fun of it. I can make fun of it. But who wouldn't want to get paid millions to just literally just go maybe fly somewhere, stand there, look mean, not have to put your body in the line and go back home, right? I mean, we can all get, you know, we can all berate it, belittle it, make fun of it. The fact is Brock Lesnar is the last one laughing because he's laughing all the way to the bank. But this is a great promo by Paul Heyman. As he always is, and this time, you know, he really sold this match well, that everybody thought they were special, that The Rock thought he was special, Hulk Hogan thought he was special, we had even Ric Flair. I mean, I remember him facing Ric Flair. Stone Cold even got an F5 before WrestleMania 20, I remember that. And having Paul Heyman run down all of these guys that thought they were special, ultimately only to get into the ring when things mattered the most and they couldn't get the job done against Brock. He mentioned the leg drop wasn't enough, the rock bottom wasn't enough, and that the Claymore kick is either going to be avoided or Brock Lesnar is going to know how to minimize the damage. And this is an interesting match on so many levels. I think ultimately this is going to be the match that truly main events WrestleMania. What I mean by that, it's going to be the final match of the entire show, meaning Sunday night, this will be the final match, I believe, for WrestleMania. So Paul Heyman, again, knocked it out of the park. Brock Lesnar looks like big, mean man. And we get another a very good, very, very good build for this match as well. I mean, I think every single match was built nicely through Raw and made me want to see the match that much more. And yeah, we got what's her name? Asuka acting like a fool, a cartoon character on the show. And, I don't dislike Asuka as a get her off my TV. I just sometimes I almost feel embarrassed watching her. And maybe that's the point. They just kind of like, you know what, let her go. Let's stop trying to handcuff her from being this quirky, weird, awkward promo and, you know, trying to force her into this little box that we want to see her in and just let her freaking go. Speak her language, say a couple of English words, and let's see what happens. I think that's probably what they did. I mean, because Asuka went from this controlled, trying to speak English to, 90% Japanese, and then into, easy peasy, and you hear Alexa Bliss or you hear WrestleMania, and that's all we really can translate or deduce from her promos these days. And I guess that's the point. But we got another kind of weird promo from Asuka, and her on commentary is also very weird. I mean, I don't know what other way to put it. I've said this before. I don't know what to make of Asuka. I don't know whether to really, really love her or really, really hate her, but she's a character. I mean, she's a larger than life cartoon character. I've said she's a walking cartoon. That's exactly what Asuka is. And again, I don't know if that's good or bad. I still don't know, but it is official with the tag team championships on the line with Asuka and Kairi Sane versus Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. I think I gave the prediction. If I didn't, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross win that. I mean, I just think it's time to get the Kabuki Warriors and the belts off of them. Unfortunately, the women's tag team belts have been all but forgotten. They just have. And it's a shame because they could do so much more with them, and I just don't see it happening. They just kind of get lost, and you're like, oh yeah, they've had them for a while. They should probably drop them. And that happened with the Iconics, who went to hiding after they won them. Even Sasha and Bayley, the inaugural tag team belt champions, didn't really do a whole lot other than you can say, hey, they were the first ones to hold the belt. So there's that. I mean, I don't know. So, all right, guys. Well, that is my review of Raw. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm ready for WrestleMania week. I'm sure you guys are too. I'm ready for WrestleMania weekend, I should say, the actual event to happen. I'm ready for all of it. It's been a long time coming, and it's going to be very interesting to see in what is going to be the most unique WrestleMania of all time. And I don't buy the whole too big for one night thing. I just don't. I don't think there's anybody in this world that believes it's too big for one night. I mean, I love how they try to spin it as if it was their decision, right? But it's just not, right? It's not. Let's be honest. The marketing slogan on that is a bit misleading. But I'm ready for WrestleMania. I'm ready for two nights. Let's do this. Again, we'll be covering you guys almost every single day. Like every single day you open your eyes and look at the feed, there should be a new show. I mean, we're going to be pumping out so much content, it's going to make your head spin. So just kind of strap in, get yourself ready for WrestleMania weekend, get yourself ready with us as your wrestling source and your analysis and opinions and everything else that goes with it, and predictions and all of that lovely, all that lovely audio. So, hey, you got nothing better to do, right? Maybe watch your Netflix. And recently I've gotten into Ozark. I don't know if anybody else has watched it, but it's getting damn good. It's crazy. And it's kind of sucking me in. So that's what I'm going to go do after I'm done with this show. But guys, thank you so much for listening. Again, send me your audio at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. Hit me up on Twitter and at the WWE podcast. Also have a Facebook page at facebook.com/thewwepodcast. And we are also on Instagram, believe it or not. We also have a website. I mean, honestly, it's everything. Everything you guys already know, we have everything that is possible to have. Website, social media, every podcast platform you can imagine, we are there. So subscribe and leave us a comment if you can. Leave us a comment and rating it, and it really helps out the show. It's the best way to help us out. And if you want to go ad-free, go to patreon.com/WWE podcast. If you want no ads through the weekend, that's the place to go. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back tomorrow night with some wrestling nostalgia. So get ready for that. Thank you guys for listening. I'll talk to you soon.